listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Hello and welcome to the Locked On Cavaliers podcast for Friday, September 28th. I am Chris Manning, your host from FearTheSword.com, SB Nation's Cleveland Cavaliers site. As always, you can find this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Megaphone, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find it on Twitter and Facebook at Locked On Cavs, and you can find me on Twitter at CWMWright. On today's show, I'm joined by one of the fantastic writers over at River the Sword. He also runs Early Bird Rights, he writes the Blazers Edge, Peachtree Hoops, and a whole bunch of other places, including Forbes. It's Jeff Siegel. Jeff, what's going on?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. So we are just a couple days away from NBA preseason basketball actually kicking off, where media days have come and gone. Jeff, are you, now that it feels real, now that we're, you know, days away from basketball, have gotten the media days and some of the cliches that happen on media day out of the way, does it feel real to you? Are you ready?
I am definitely not ready, but it's coming whether we like it or not. So here we go.
Yeah, I'm sort of glad the preseason is spaced out more than the regular season. That'll give me some time to kind of get my rhythm back, get my blogging and writing legs back under me a little bit here. But we're here today to talk about a bit of Cavsy news that has come out in recent days. Now, this is something that isn't necessarily new. It is not something we have necessarily talked about at length on this podcast, or I haven't written about this at length either. But it seems to me like it will happen more as if it'll eventually happen as opposed to what happened. And that's an extension for Larry Nance Jr. Jeff, I can't remember the date off the top of my head, but the deadline, I think, is very soon. He would be a restricted free agent next summer if they cannot come to terms to an extension here soon. And it's something that dating back really to when, I think when they traded for him, and I think dating back to the Kevin Love extension announcement, I think it's something that's become closer and closer and come to really basically be likely. But what do you make of this sort of last minute push to Larry Nance potentially getting an extension?
I mean, so to clarify, the deadline is the first game of the season. So as soon as he takes the floor for the first game of the year and he doesn't have an extension, then he'll have hit free agency next summer.
So for people know, that is, I believe, I'm going to double check the date here, but it is for the Cavs. The first regular season game is on October 17th. Against the Toronto Raptors. So basically between now and October 17th is the window for them to get some things done, which is frankly a decent amount of time, depending on from the reporting we understand. And to my understanding, they're fairly close. It's just kind of some smaller haggling on some details at this point.
Yeah, I think, and that makes sense for both sides. Obviously, Nance sort of was a later pick in the draft and wants to lock in that next contract as soon as possible. For Cleveland, you know, they're looking to sort of pick up the pieces in the post-LeBron era. Where are they going? Are they trying to be more competitive? Are they trying to be, you know, take a step backwards? I think the Love extension, like you mentioned, that was our first real indication that they're not looking to take a step backwards. They're not looking to, you know, to cash in on whatever value Love has. They want him around long term. They want Nance around long term, I would imagine as well, and are looking to sort of pivot away from LeBron and toward this Kevin Love, Colin Sexton led team pretty much as quickly as possible. And I think Nance makes sense in that time frame. He makes sense with those two guys in terms of a skill set, in terms of matching up with them on both ends of the court, really. So, you know, I think it makes sense for both sides to want to work out a deal. Whether we see a deal or not is sort of depends on what Nance is after, and whether he feels that he's, you know, a starting caliber center worth $17 million a year. I would imagine, based on the fact that we've had some reporting that they're moving toward an agreement, that he doesn't have those kind of demands, and that seems smart for me because he's not that kind of player. So, you know, if they're getting in on an extension, you know, 4 years and, you know, maybe $40 million, $48 million, somewhere in through there, I think makes sense to me.
So let's look at this from a way that, let's just think about who this makes sense for. I think it does make sense for both sides. I think we both sort of agree there. But does this make sense to get a deal done now as opposed to later? Does it make sense for one side of this equation more than the other, in your opinion?
I think it makes more sense for Nance in particular, because he has to have seen what happened to big men on this market, on what we just, you know, we just saw teams really squeeze the big men to the point where, because there's so many of them and there wasn't that much money around the association this past summer. There's going to be more next summer, but there's still a ton of big guys out there and a bunch of big guys coming into free agency, a bunch of guys who sort of fit Nance's player profile as well. And so it doesn't really, I think he can certainly look at both what has happened over this past summer and what specifically happened with the Cleveland Cavaliers this summer. And I can imagine that he's a little bit scared of what might come to him in restricted free agency next year. You know, if I were him, I would think that locking in an extension, even at a lower value, makes more sense than hitting restricted free agency.
Yeah, I think it makes more sense for him too, because he and the Cavs have talked about how they believe he can expand his game this season. And if he were to take a leap as a shooter, as a creator, or both, or a combination of some different things, particularly on offense, his value would go up. It makes him more dynamic. I mean, Deep could probably play some four, and he is someone that I think we only have a small sample size of how much of a five he really is. If you go back to his time with the Lakers, he was playing a lot of four there. With the Cavs, he has basically only been a five. So I think there's some data and how he will hold up this year will tell us a lot about him beyond kind of the season. And I think there's a lot of good reason to be skeptical about how much he can expand his game, just because he's heading into the end of his rookie contract and he hasn't done that yet. And typically guys, regardless of circumstance, sort of bubble up in that way by this time. So I think it makes sense for him as well, for him more so as well. But for the Cavs, I also do get it, because he is someone that I do believe they think is a future face of the franchise to some degree, is someone that can help them be good and plays the kind of way they want to play. And I think if you get him at a pretty good market value, which I would guess is maybe it's got to be somewhere around 10, but who knows at this point, that's not a bad thing to have locked up on your cap space. And it's at least have that to plan around the next couple of years, especially when, you know, Osman's still on a cheap contract for through next season. Sexton is just starting his rookie contract. You have Zizic basically cheap through 2021. So if you're going to spend a little bit for the next 3 to 4 years, sort of like what NFL teams do with rookie quarterbacks, it maybe makes sense to just lock in a guy you like while some of your good, cheap guys you're hoping are good, cheap, and young are still on those cheap, young contracts.
Yeah, I think for and locking him in, you know, between 10 and 12 million isn't, you know, that's not going to kill you at any point. You can get off of $10 million a year very easily, especially for a guy who can play. You know, even if he doesn't take any steps forward, just sort of remains the guy he is, he's worth that sort of $10 to $12 million a year range. So it makes sense for them to lock him up, because, you know, that's a good, that's a good trade chip down the road. Even if, you know, if things go haywire, if he's not as good in that role, but you can convince somebody that he would be good in another role, you know, playing more of the four, like you were saying, you know, I think that that contract is very tradable. If he's on $16 million, all of a sudden that becomes a much worse contract.
Yeah, then he gets getting into the Tristan Thompson range, which, as we know, it's a little steep right now for what he's really making. When you look at some of the figures out there, what do you think would be a fair amount? We're going to talk about if they view him as a cornerstone, what he needs to get better at. But is to use the 10 to 12 million range a fair amount for what Nance is and maybe what he could evolve into?
I think it's a fair price for what he could evolve into. I think that would be a big part of it. That would be something that they would really, they want him to commit to them in some way, verbally, however, that he would be interested in expanding his game offensively or defensively. You know, obviously both would be best, but if he can expand his game in one way or the other, either becoming more perimeter oriented as a big man offensively, or becoming more interior focused as a big man defensively, I think that, you know, especially as they've sort of committed to Love as a long-term piece, Love's contract is not going to be particularly tradable, I don't think. And so, you know, you're really you really have to be planning for Love. If you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, you're planning that Love is going to be your power forward for the next few years. Where does Nance fit into that? That would mean that he fits in at the center position, which means he needs to bring a little bit more interior defense, a little more defensive rebounding. And then if Love is going to be the focus of the offense at the elbows in the post, you know, it's not impossible to work with Nance as sort of a diving cutter pick and roll type, but it would be really nice if he could space out to the corners, hit some threes, take somebody off the dribble, make a couple of passes. I mean, those are things that we've never really seen from him consistently. So that would be, you know, one way or the other. I mean, I would prefer him to be better defensively than offensively. I think he's fine offensively, but if he can be more of an interior threat defensively, that would be really nice for them as a, you know, as they move forward with him pretty much playing the center position.
So let's talk about the defense for a second. I think he is a guy that has the tools to be a guy who could switch out on a lot of guys. That's really valuable. I think his frame's a little, if we were maybe 5 years ago and he was going to be guarding bulkier centers all the time, I'd be a little bit concerned about his frame as a five, but I don't know how much of a concern that is. I mean, guys, I mean, especially for the Cavs right now, they're not particularly a threat at the top of the East, no matter what Tristan Thompson says when he gets interviewed. But I tend to agree. I think if he could just he's a guy that's very active, but if he could be a little more functionally active and create some more turnovers, kind of create some chances and then turn those chances into something, that would be really impressive. I think offensively, I liked what he did last year as a role guy, as a diver, as a cutter. I think you're 100% correct in noting that if he could just even hit like an 18-foot jumper on the baseline or step it out to corner threes, which is something the Cavs, again, say he can do and he said he was working on, that would be really, really big. And I also just like him, if they're going to play faster, if they're going to have sex and he's going to play really fast and you have Love as the focal point and maybe he's flinging out outline passes, he needs to be a guy that I think can take a couple dribbles with the ball in his hands, finish, make a quick pass. He needs to do that kind of stuff in transition. So if I was going to give like a power ranking of things I want to see Larry Nance improve at this year, I think number one probably for me would be shooting, but then I would go kind of the overall defensive improvement as a five, and then number three just kind of being a little bit more of a small space basic playmaker just so he can finish some of the faster plays that he might get asked to do on the break.
Yeah, I think I would power rank those three things with the defense first, just because, you know, as an offensive player, if he's just a play finisher around Love, around Sexton, somebody who can just catch lobs, cut a little bit, and be sort of a vertical spacing big man, he's already got those skills, and I'm fine with how he plays offensively. The big man stuff, the being a center defensively is more about being an interior presence, being a not just a shot blocker, but a shot deterrer at the rim. He doesn't really have a ton of that. The defensive rebounding is not really there for him at this point. I think that's, you know, something that I would like to see him improve upon. In terms of his perimeter defense, I think he's one of the better big men in the league already at sliding with guys on the perimeter, getting his hands in passing lanes, getting his hand on the ball when he's, you know, even if he's guarding guards, like he can create havoc for guards on the perimeter, for big men on the perimeter. I think he's a better perimeter defender, a better defender away from the rim than a lot of people sort of realize. And I think he, as a four, that makes sense. But at the five position, I would like to see him with a little bit more of an interior presence. If not, then they can obviously scheme around that. I think Sexton is sort of is a nice point guard in that sense. George Hill is a nice point guard in that sense, that they can just switch a lot of that stuff. Nance can hang on the perimeter. Those guys, you know, being long and tall, and of course Sexton is just sort of relentless in his energy, and you know, he plays with such a fire and a fierceness that he'll be fine in switching situations. I'm not really worried about him, even though he's a little bit smaller, you know, on the point guard scale. I think he, you know, 6'1", 6'2". I'm not really worried about him in switching situations. So they can just sort of switch every pick and roll that involves Nance. And then sort of that rim protection doesn't matter as much. It's nice to have in case you want to sort of play a more drop coverage. But if they're going to, you know, if they want to switch everything on the perimeter, and, you know, especially since they sort of already do that with Love, you know, for an entirely different reason, not because Love is so good at switching, but really just because letting him play back and pick and roll just doesn't work. He's going to get torched every time. So, you know, they already sort of switch a lot of stuff with Love. If you want to continue that, switch everything with Nance. Thompson's a good switch guy. I think that's how you can mitigate some of their, you know, interior defensive issues, especially when Love and Nance play together. So, you know, I think I would like Nance to be more of a traditional center in that sense, but if he's going to be a, you know, a high end perimeter switch guy, then that's, you know, I think that's obviously a workable defensive profile.
Do you care if he starts or not, if he gets an extension? Like, do you think that that should factor into to what he's getting paid here?
No, I don't think so. Not with Thompson still on the team, not with Thompson being a sort of better version of what Larry Nance brings. Thompson obviously is, you know, had a down year last year, is not the type of athlete that Nance is, but he's sort of has a lot of what Nance brings to the table. You know, he's frankly a better defender than Nance is. He can do all of that perimeter stuff, but also has the rebounding prowess and the interior presence that I keep talking about with that I'd like Nance to develop. I think Thompson has some of that. Obviously, you know, Thompson has the investment in him, even though, you know, even if they invest in Nance as a, you know, 4-year, $50 million guy, which would be on the high end of what I think he'll get, you know, Thompson still being paid more than that, still sort of just even from the interviews from media day, the interviews from practice, like sort of has the swagger, I guess, of a starting center. I don't know how much they really care about that, but he does. I would start Thompson even if Nance gets a, you know, 4-year, $50 million extension.
Yeah, I'm a little torn because I think Love is basically only going to be 4 this year if you have Nance, I need to figure some of this out because I just don't. There's a Love hole when he sits, and without LeBron, there's just not someone there to sort of like naturally fill that 4 spot. So I don't know if maybe Nance has to play some 4 this year if that's how Zizic gets on the floor, and that's a little weird to me too. There's some questions I think I have about pairings that we don't know yet, and some of it, frankly, will be just us learning this and evaluating the data in real time and just kind of evaluating it then. Let's talk about how, though, he fits with Love. I need to run the numbers on this before we get to the season, but it does not seem as if we have a lot of data about how he fits with Love. I don't think he's exactly the prototypical center type that you'd want next to Love, but I think in this NBA that's a little more flexible. I also think like he has a lot of things that help make up for what Love is bad at that intrigues me, and I'm very curious to see if they can do some high-low stuff with them. If Love, who's a very, very, very good passer, could have just said great there, and he could just, you know, throw. Can he run basic plays with high low action with Nance? Can Nance as a cutter, you know, make use of Love at the elbow? That to me is going to be really interesting. And if they could be a productive duo that way, in a way that maybe Love and Tristan cannot, even if that duo, you know, was great leading up to the 16 finals, that to me is really fascinating to me. And I just, again, I do not think we know what kind of fit they really have together yet, because I think for a lot of reasons they did not really have a lot of time to mesh.
Yeah, they really didn't play that much last season. The offense and defense were both fantastic when they were on the floor together. It was very, you know, very few minutes, and obviously the LeBron played with them the entire time. I don't think the two of them even touched the floor together without LeBron. So there's obviously a relatively large gap there that they're going to have to fill. How I think in theory the pairing can make sense. You know, especially with the high low stuff. Offensively, Nance can be one of those guys who just sort of hangs out about 15 feet away, takes, you know, 2 steps in, and then just launches himself upward to catch some, you know, some high low lobs. You know, you can see him maybe being able to space that, you know, hit that 15, 18 foot jumper even into the corner. Hopefully that, you know, hopefully for the Cavs' sake that he can sort of step out and hit that shot. That would help, you know, help the spacing for Cleveland quite a bit. So, you know, offensively, I just don't think Cleveland's going to be all that good offensively. And obviously, since LeBron really came back, they've hung their hat on the offensive end, but you lose LeBron, obviously, and things go south. Whereas defensively, they haven't been all that good, but I think they can, you know, almost take a step forward on that end at least in the regular season, because, you know, the effort level hasn't quite been there the last couple of years from the Cavaliers defensively. And so, you know, everybody, you know, takes a collective step forward, you know, in the effort department. Thompson gets back to what he was. Nance sort of emulates Thompson as much as he can from, you know, the Thompson of 2015-16, and tries to sort of create havoc in passing lanes and just sort of get out on the perimeter. You know, the teams are going to target Love because, frankly, that just is what teams are going to do. And, you know, how Nance deals with that as a weak side shot blocker is going to be really interesting. you know, how is he going to, if he's guarding the opposing team's center, which maybe isn't necessarily what they're going to go with, because Love, you know, if Love is going to be involved in every pick and roll, maybe Love guards the other team's center. But, you know, Nance is going to have to sort of play that game between guarding his guy on the perimeter, perhaps, and rotating over to the rim to, you know, to deter any shots at the rim. So I don't know how Nance is going to deal with being sort of that weak side guy. He's got the athleticism. Does he have the anticipation, the mental side, the recognition of this, you know, things are breaking down. I need to sprint to the rim and jump and just hope that this works out. A lot of guys have that. You know, obviously, you know, you look at somebody from 5-6 years ago, Serge Ibaka still has that a little bit, but really if you're looking at what you want Nance to be as a shot blocker, Ibaka from 4 or 5 years ago would be the guy I would look at. I don't think Nance has the mental side of the game to deal with that quite yet, but hopefully he can develop on that end.
Are you more interested in how he would fit with Zizic or Thompson if he ends up having to play with someone that isn't Kevin Love? Which I think if they're going to play Zizic, which I think they sort of should, I think that's sort of inevitable.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Nance and Zizic will play together if they, because they're going to have to have a fourth big guy, and I assume that Zizic would hold that down for now. I'm not sure, you know, I think the Nance-Thompson stuff gets a little bit, the spacing gets a little weird.
It's tough. It's tough to really stomach, because it's just, especially if like Sexton can't shoot and they're playing with Sexton, and there's just ways it cramps everything in a way that's just not workable. I think that's my fear.
Not on the floor, this team is not going to score baskets. Like, it's just not. Like, this is good enough. And so
Nawaba, on the defensive end, Thompson and Nance are going to be bad.
You know, so if you want to hang your hat on the defensive end, Sexton, Osman, George Hill, and then Thompson and Nance, that's not the worst defensive unit in the world. Assuming Sexton can sort of pick up the nuances and the speed of the NBA game and is still the sort of pit bull that we saw him in college, you know, I think that's a workable defensive unit. You know, that's a better defensive unit than when Love is in the game. But of course, Love brings so much on the offensive end. When they sit Love, they're going to hang their hat defensively. And I think that they, you know, a lineup like that can work. You know, maybe you need the problem is obviously if they want to boost the offense, they're going to need a shot creator. That's going to be, you know, a Jordan Clarkson, maybe J.R. Smith as a guy who can just take tough shots. Then the defense gets a little bit worse, you know, a lot of bit worse if Clarkson is the guy. So, you know, you want, if you're going to throw out a defense heavy unit, you want it to be five solid defenders. But you know, you can even look at sort of being a, you can look at the Cavaliers without Love on the floor as being a very low budget version of what the Oklahoma City Thunder were in 2016-17 before Paul George got there, but after Durant left. That year, it was the Russell Westbrook show offensively, and then they had everything else about that team was defense first. And if you want to play a guy like Clarkson and you just say, hey, Jordan, shoot the ball 35% of the time. Like, you're gonna be the whole offense right now. And then everybody else just sort of flies around and plays defense and makes up for Clarkson's mistakes on the perimeter. That's a workable archetype of a five-man unit, I think. Without Love, this team is going to struggle offensively. So it's really about, you know, it's about how can they put the best defensive lineup on the floor, I think.
Yeah, Jordan Clarkson, like loving Jordan Clarkson, might become like a thing this year that I just don't know if I'm ready for. What do you think about his fit with Sexton? I think I like his fit with Osman and sort of the way they complement each other's energy guys as guys that sort of maybe don't need the ball a lot, especially if they both can grow in interesting ways. I think their pieces as, you know, maybe supplementary pieces to a really good player, I think both sort of work. I'm very curious to see how he fits with Sexton, because Sexton just goes 100 miles an hour. So right now, that's just what he is. I wonder how that meshes with Nance. I like it on the break. I don't know what it looks like in the pick and roll. I don't know what it looks like off ball if Sexton can't be a reliable three-point shooter as a rookie. There were some questions, I think, about how Sexton and Nance fit. But I think with Sexton, I have the same sort of concerns with him and Tristan.
Yeah,
too.
I would think that, you know, if you, whatever concerns you have with Nance offensively, I would imagine that Thompson has very similar concerns because they're very similar players. Nance is a little more athletic. Thompson is a little smarter with his cutting, and offensive rebounding is stronger, I think, with...
He's a better passer, I would argue. He didn't do it much last year, but 2 years ago, he had this really nice ability to make a read out of the pick and roll where he'd pass to the corner or make another pass that got someone an open shot. And if they could incorporate that, that makes maybe just something he's shown at least that Nance, I don't think, ever
Nance
really
is not a passer. Nance is not a playmaker. He doesn't have the offensive recognition really doesn't have the defensive recognition either, but he doesn't really have the recognition, the mental side of the game on both sides of the floor that Thompson really has developed over the last few years. This past year was a down year for Thompson really across the board, but the idealized version of Thompson, what he could get back to and what I think they're hoping he gets back to, is a bit more of an offensive, not an offensive crux, not an offensive focus point, but he at least can move the ball, can keep the ball moving, is more of a ball progressor rather than like a full-time playmaker. If Nance can even get to that level, that would be great. You know, for in terms of Sexton, the two of them, I think Nance provides a nice sort of just dump in vertical threat for their offense, in that if Sexton is coming around a pick and roll, he's not the best passer. He's not the best reader of situations, even at the college level. So if he can come around a pick and roll and just say, if all else fails, throw it to the rim and Larry Nance will go get it, that's kind of a nice, it's kind of a nice crutch for him to have. It might not work every time. There may be a lot of turnovers. There may be a lot of times where Nance doesn't, you know, see that pass coming. But as an athlete, I think the two of them sort of make sense together. Especially if Sexton is coming down sort of in semi-transition and then Nance comes up and slips a screen and Sexton just keeps going full speed to the rim, the two of them could have a nice connection there. You know, but it's Sexton's playmaking or lack thereof that I would be worried about with him in pick and roll. Nance is going to be sort of a crutch for him. You're going to just throw it up to the rim and let Larry go get it. And then if not, you know, hopefully he can find that guy in the opposite corner, whether that's Love, whether that's J.R. Smith, whether that's Osman, you know, whoever that is in the opposite corner. If he can just sort of master those two passes, that would be really good for Sexton. Nance can sort of fill into that vertical spacing role as well as Thompson can. So, you know, I think offensively, in theory, those two make sense together, but I can see a lot of Sexton throwing the ball up for Nance and him not really being able to go get it because it's, you know, there's guys between him and the ball, and it just sort of, Sexton might rely on him a little bit too much, but it is going to be an interesting pairing to watch.
Just throw it out in the dark. I don't think either of us really know at this point. It seems like that he gets the deal, but do you think Nance does have a deal in place?
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll be 4 years, $44 million, about $11 million a year on average, but it'll, you know, scale up or down or however they want to do it. But, you know, I think it makes sense for both sides. I think Nance would like to lock himself in to, you know, to a growing team with Sexton, with Osman. You know, I think he fits their timeline. He's somebody, you know, and then that's a very tradable contract for the Cleveland Cavaliers. So I think it's something that works for both sides. Nance can sort of protect himself in case he doesn't take a big leap forward in a slightly bigger role this year. So, you know, I think, and especially in an uncertain situation with no LeBron to make him look great, you know, how, you know, Nance has to sort of be looking at it like this might not work out for him to try to test free agency next summer. So, you know, I think it makes sense for both sides to try to lock this extension in.
Yeah, I also think for the Cavs, getting someone that you believe can be a future face of your franchise, can be someone you can market, really does kind of matter right now. And he's a local guy. Dad played here. He's wearing his dad's number. Going to be uber popular. Browns, he's a Browns fan. Like, he just sort of is the sort of player that I think is really easy for this community to buy into. And just saying, there's a new arena coming up that they're going to have. And I'm just saying, like, having a guy like that around isn't necessarily a bad business decision as much as it also is a good basketball decision. But Jeff, we're going to wrap it up on I'm going to just ask you one answer. I don't want any details, explanation of why. Where's Jimmy Butler ending up, and does it happen before opening night? Just team name and then yes or no.
It definitely happens before opening night. Where he ends up? Miami, I guess. I mean, that's really the only one that seems to have any traction. Before everything started, I thought Brooklyn, but I guess I'll have to go with Miami based on current reporting.
Yeah, let's get Hassan Whiteside coached by Tibbs so I can just like laugh my butt off for a whole season. But you can find Jeff on Twitter at JG Siegel. You can find his writing, as I noted, at Forbes, Fear the Sword, Blazer's Edge, and a whole bunch of other places. His earlybirdwrites.com is also the best place for you to go check out additional writing as well as his cap sheets. But Jeff, thanks so much. Again, find the podcast on Twitter at Lockdown Cavs and on Twitter and Facebook. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter at CWM Rich. Please go to FearTheSword.com. We have all of our player previews and player weaknesses articles going up right now. Jeff has wrote a bunch of them. Trevor Magnotti has a great one on Billy Preston. And we're going to cover every player, even John Holland. I didn't start writing about John Holland because that's how much I just want to make sure the series goes well. And you can read all those right now and in the coming days at FearTheSword.com. And again, preseason basketball is back next Tuesday. Fun times. Follow along. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.